Hello, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Pigskin Picks for 2022. I'm Matt Seidel, along with the rest of the Coach Speak podcast crew, Derek Seidel and Josh Trope. Okay, it's time for some basketball coaches to drop some football knowledge. You boys ready to go?
Oh, yeah.
No doubt. No better people to be picking than basketball coaches, you know?
Obviously, we know more about football than football coaches. We just chose to coach a winter sport where it's warm.
Oh, man. Here we go. We're going to pick 10 games each week, mostly high school games, but also some college and even a pro game from time to time. This week, however, with prep football being the only game in town, you get 10 high school games. So let's get rolling. Game number one on the docket, Brooklyn Columbia Central at Napoli. Derek, your Pirates are playing. Who do you got?
Yeah, so I think on paper, you're going to look at this and say, okay, Napoleon was 6-3 last year. Columbia Central was 0-9. But you're going to say, wow, this is not going to be a close contest. But I'm telling you, I really do think this has a chance to be closer than it looks on paper. Columbia Central has actually dominated the rivalry for the majority of the last 10 years. Napoleon did win last year for the first time in a while. They play for this little white jug. Obviously, I'm in Napoleon. I don't totally get it. It's kind of an ugly jug, but there's something about it. The kids love it, but it is what it is. I expect Napoleon, you know, they really have taken on the identity of their coach. Coach Shell is all about physicality. He just wants to like out physical the person in front of him all the time. And that's the kind of the way that they play the game. They're going to run behind their big offensive tackles and a pretty solid offensive line. They got Mike Humphreys, Max Gomez, Ben Baker, some big dudes that have worked hard in the weight room. They're going to give the ball to Bart Laritz and Brendan Helfrich behind those guys. I think they're going to have a successful season doing that. I'm going to pick Napoleon, but I'm telling you, I think it could be close. Columbia Central's got some athletic guys in the backfield. They got a quarterback that can run a little bit. I think Napoleon needs to make sure that they take them serious. It's a rivalry game. They should, but I'm just throwing that out there.
Let's go back to basketball real quick. Do you play Columbia Central the regular season, and do you play for a white jug? Because you need to get that together. All right.
I'll go buy a white jug for this year. We'll play for it.
All right. 14-27 last year. That was the final score. So it was a little closer than the records. You're right. Coach Dylan Zaborowski taking over an 0-9 squad. I like Coach Dylan already because he coached JV Hoop last year. So obviously he's more intelligent than most football coaches right there. My only issue here is Coach Shell obviously is a genius coach because he did something all smart football coaches do. They put the AD on their staff. That way they get everything they need. So I'm going with Coach Shell and Napoleon because obviously man knows what he's doing.
Oh, that is smart. Right. 0-9 last year for the Eagles of Columbia Central. You know, they did beat Napoleon five straight times, though, between 2015 and 2019. So they've had their way in this rivalry at times. I worry that Ty Farmer, you got to make sure Ty Farmer, this is a good defensive player for Brooklyn. He stays away from some of your basketball players, keep him off Grant Bradley. I don't know what you're going to do to do that, but I think he's a pretty good football player. You're going to maybe set a record for them in tackles, a career record. But I expect Napoleon with Grant Bradley, Trent Jester, Holden Van Poppel and company, they're going to win this one. And this will also could be the first of maybe six straight wins to start the season for Napoleon if they get on a roll. Don't want to put any pressure on Coach Shell and the Pirates, but that's what I've got. Okay, that's game one. Across the board, we were on the same page there. Second game, Coach Trope, you'll enjoy this one. Jackson Lumen Christie at New Lothrop.
All right. Well, I mean, first off, is there a better first game in the state of Michigan? I the answer is no, there's not. You have the number four team versus the number five team in the state in Division 7. Jackson Lumen Christie beat New Lothrop last year 27-14 at home, on the way to an 11-2 season and a loss in the semis to a really good Lawton team. Well, a tough 1-point loss. New Lothrop had another great year. They're a perennial powerhouse. They went 7-4. They did lose two home games last year. So not a great home team, in my opinion. So I think that bodes well for the Titans going on the road on Thursday night. And then the other thing is three regular season losses. In all those games, they scored 14 and less points. Lumen Christie defense lights out. I like the Titans to go on the road, take care of business. to start the season with a dub and solidify that number four ranking to start the year?
I have a feeling I'm going to learn to dislike Lumen Christi football as much as I disliked Chelsea football when you were there. Lathrop, again, perennial state power, but so is Lumen Christi. Last time New Lathrop missed the playoffs was 99, but Lumen hasn't missed since 1997. I'm going with New Lathrop in this one just because I can't agree with you on that one. I don't really have any reason why, other than I do know they have a good football program. We played their JVs last year because we needed to pick up a game, and those dudes brought it. Like, this is just a good football program, and our coaches, their eyes were open. They knew that, so I think they've got a great history.
Yeah, I noticed doing a little research on New Lathrop. They got, you know, they have smaller team. You know, it's D7 football. You're not gonna have a ton of kids. But coach said they only have 23 players in the paper, but they do have 16 returning starters, including the quarterback Jack Kulinick. Grayson Orr sounds like he's a stud lineman for them. You know, obviously Lumen Christi, I mean, their basketball team is built like football players, so I can't imagine what their football team is built like. So I know it's going to be a physical game. Goose Poop, I don't know, if you don't follow Goose Poop on Twitter, you got to get on it, man. That's where it's at. They named this the best game in D7 for the week, just like Trope was saying. I'm not kidding. You gave me a weird look. I'm telling you, Goose Poop, it's a must follow. But I am going with the Hornets. New Lathrop, let's go, baby.
You guys are haters. You're already Lumen Christi haters.
Yes, we are. Absolutely.
This just in. A lot of people disliked Lumen Christi before you got there, so it has nothing to do with you.
Just so now saying. It's going to be worse, is what you're saying.
Lumen, yeah, sorry, Lumen. All right. Another Thursday game this week. This I'll lead off this time. Michigan Center, a power from the Cascades Conference, at Tecumseh. Michigan Center, of course, they reached, I think, the D6 semifinals a year ago. Had some tough close games to do it, but they got there. Probably one of, if not the favorite, to win the Cascades this year. Tecumseh has not posted a winning record since 2013. So, you know, on paper, it looks like Michigan Center is in charge, but I'm going with Tecumseh. They got a quarterback. I think his name's Jacob Burns. A.J. Brian, a little bit of a running back. I got another Ben Scooter, I think, who's a receiver and a defensive end. That name just always pops up in Tecumseh Athletics. I'm going to pick Tecumseh to win this one in a close game. Derek?
Yeah, you know, I mean, yeah, this is a tough one to judge, you know, early in the season here. You got a bigger school in Tecumseh versus a slightly smaller school in Michigan Center. Michigan Center obviously has a little bit more of a winning tradition in recent years. Center just was, they're winning in everything right now. They win the district and regional in football. They won the district in basketball the last couple of years. They have league title in baseball. They just have kind of that, they have it going, like, in that sense over there recently. They did lose a ton from last year's team. Especially the one running back that was just unstoppable had really, really good numbers. Losing some of those guys is tough. I do think that they've got good athletes to replace them. But they are kind of, I think, be replacing too many pieces here in this opening game of the season. I'm going to go with the bigger school here with Tecumseh. But again, I don't feel super confident in that one.
Be more predictable. Already picking against Center, your rival, picking Napoleon to win. I mean, come on. Well, this is going to be boring because we're all going with the same pick. Napoleon or Tecumseh was 4-5 last year, and that was one of their better records in the last 10 years. Three of those losses were by one score or less. They're right there. For those basketball fans that I know are listening to this podcast, Tecumseh's defense is the equivalent of the Grinnell basketball season or Grinnell basketball system. They stop no one. Tecumseh, I don't even know if they tackle in practice or they wear pads, but they can score the football. Romano's still there. Tecumseh's going to put up points. And let's be honest, is there a better AD at scheduling in the state of Michigan than John Zajac? I mean, he just calls up 1-800-VICTORY, 1-800-CUPCAKE, and they throw it on the Tecumseh schedules. They're going to roll over the Cascades Conference.
He shouldn't be doing that anymore. They got good athletes coming through Tecumseh right now. No need to do that anymore. But all right, moving to another Thursday game, our fourth game. That will be Jackson at Monroe. Derek, you're leading off this one.
You know, this was one of my tougher ones to pick. I just didn't know a lot about either program. But, you know, listening to new coach at Jackson High, Antonio Parker, talk on JTV, he's got me convinced, man. They got a lot of returners. It sounds like 9 or 10 guys really on both sides of the ball that started games a year ago are back. Sounds like they got good numbers in the program. You know, their record the last 2 years has just been okay. 5-5 a year ago, 3-4 the year before. Monroe was 4-3 and 4-5. So I think kind of comparable teams. Monroe did beat Jackson. I saw a couple of years ago, 42-14. So it wasn't a close game then, but I don't know. I got a feeling that Jackson's maybe got a good little momentum here to start the season with the new coach, good feel going. I'm going with Jackson on the road.
I agree with you. Probably the toughest game to pick this week on our sheet. Simply, I went with this. Monroe's the home team. Monroe. That's it. Monroe.
Monroe has a new coach as well, David Misford, who I remember used to be the Dearborn basketball coach and football coach. Then he was the football coach at Western. Now he's at Monroe, very successful coach. Jackson's been, a 500 program the last few years. Monroe has not been relevant in a while, and they were for a long time. And I think these two teams have split their last two games. But there's a new turf field at Monroe, and you cannot lose your first game on a new turf field. I am going with Monroe as well over Jackson. So anyway, let's move to our fifth game and our final game on Thursday. Coach Tropez, you're going to lead us off. Hudsonville at Saline.
Ooh. And this should be an excellent game. Two really good programs. Saline won a tough one last year, 34-30 over Hudsonville. Saline rolled 9-0 regular season, but again, SEC football is so bad that it hurt them once they got into the playoffs. They got pounded by Canton in the first round, 9-0, and Canton jumped all over them. So again, Hudsonville is a great game for them to schedule because they will make them more battle tested. Hudsonville went on to play a just brutally tough schedule, which included Orange Lake St. Mary's and some really good West Side teams. They ended up going 5-5 on the year. When it comes down to this, I'm not picking against my guy, CJ Carr, who's going to Notre Dame to play football and chose it over Michigan, just for the record. So go Horn. I'm a Saline Hornets fan now, at least till CJ graduates.
Derek, we need to keep track of how many shots he takes at the SEC now that he's no longer coaching in the SEC, because there's one clear one, and that was unfair. SEC is fine in football. All right, they had a state champion last year, didn't they? Didn't Chelsea win a state title last year? Saline's very relevant. Saline has not missed the playoffs since 2011, and guess who started coaching that year? That was Polka. Coach Polka took over in 2011, and they had a good coach before that, but they didn't make it the year before, and Polka has never been out of the playoffs. You're right about the win last year. Saline just has too much. Hudsonville was only 4-5 last year, but man, they play a tough schedule and they were very competitive. But I will also take the Saline Hornets in this one.
Yeah, I think simply when you have a 5-star quarterback in CJ Carr, you got a 4-star tight end in Dylan Messman, you got a wide receiver who had 953 yards, most in the area a year ago, in Roman Lario. That offense is explosive. I know, I think Hudsonville is a good, it seems like they're a good program that's just, I mean, super close. I mean, think like with those 5 losses last year, the majority of them were 1-score losses. So they're right there. I expect it to be a good game, but yeah, you can't lose with all that talent, right? I mean, come on. So I'm going with Saline, although I do think it'll be an interesting game for sure for them.
All right, we're going to move to our Friday games, and this is one that's close to my heart, baby. It's Charlotte at Olivet Friday. It's the game of the week, Channel 6. Audrey Dahlgren from Channel 6 will be there. It's going to be a hype place. The weather's going to be good, but let's see. Olivet obviously qualified for the playoffs 14 straight years. A pretty good program, by the way. These two teams, though, arch rivals. They're right next to each other. Charlotte being the bigger of the two schools. They've split their last two games. Renewed the rivalry a couple years ago, and Olivet won 28-14, but Charlotte won 49-40 last year. Neither team could stop each other in the second half. But it put us in a little bit of tailspin, but also kind of woke us up and we got rolling from there. Charlotte went 6-4 last year, did make the playoffs, but leveled off after kind of a really fast start. I am, of course, picking Coach Brock Peters and the Eagles to to play well and maybe really get after these guys. We are not going to take them lightly, and we're going to make sure we're in great condition. The Bo Lincoln era begins Friday at quarterback. He's going to be a special player. He's going to make some mistakes, but he's also going to make some great plays. Look for we have a bunch of two-way players, probably too many. Ramsey Bissou, both sides of the ball, just like Bo Lincoln. Drew Pretty, an All-State Division II type, left tackle. He's been enough. We got two tackles in our offensive line that have played there for 4 years. Braden Hill is an unbelievably good player for Charlotte, and they have some talent as well. But again, I still like the Eagles. Derek?
Yeah, I think this is going to be a high scoring game. I mean, you're looking at Charlotte last year, like you said, it was 49-40 last year, obviously, but Charlotte as a team scored 350 points last year, I noticed, which they'd been scoring in the low 100s like the previous three seasons. So they really obviously turned the corner on offense. And I think obviously the talent at quarterback has something to do with that. Now, if I just sure hope that Olivet can come out there and give a little bit of, substance to what they do, because we got a lot of style going on social media these days. I hear it's that assistant basketball coach over there. He's a little out of control. We maybe need to turn off the smoke machine and get some more reps in on the bench press over there. My goodness. But no, in all seriousness, I love the social media stuff coming out. It's cutting edge over there, as we'd say. But I think it's
promoting that stuff. Let's be honest.
We need some TikToks during basketball season with Coach Seidel in the middle dancing in the huddle or something, getting them ready for a game. That's what I'm calling for on Eagle Vision. But anyways, when you got linemen like Drew Pretty, who's he's a stud, college lineman. I do think Bo Lincoln has just got that it factor at quarterback. Ramsey Bissou, our boy Charlie Anderson, I think they got good players across the board. So I am going to go with Olivet. I think the fact that they lost last year actually helps them. I think it helps kind of, like you said, take them serious. They're really going to be up for this game. But I think the key is not wearing down. If you're in a high scoring game, you got to make sure that, you don't wear down in that fourth quarter. So
I think you guys might have named every resident in Olivet in your two pregame spiels there. So that I won't talk about anybody. I will just go in this direction, I guess. Charlotte 42, Olivet 35, in a turnover fest, high scoring game. Charlotte has the ball last. Charlotte with the upset.
Man, I'm kicking you off this podcast after today. But anyway, all right, that's fair. All right, here we go. We're going to go into another Friday game, our seventh game. Derek, you're going to take this from the start. Springport, your Spartans, your former Spartan coach yourself, they travel to Stockbridge, a GLAC school. What do you think about this one?
Yeah, I think this is going to be an interesting matchup. The best storyline in this game is, if you check out Matt Rohde, head coach of the Springport Spartans on JTV. Their quarterback this year, Rylan Hale, he was an offensive tackle last year. And does anything speak about small high school football other than your offensive tackle moving to quarterback? I mean, that is just classic right there. But, I think he's a good athlete. I remember him being in the middle school when I was there, so I'm not surprised that he's able to play offensive tackle and play quarterback. I tell you what, the thing with Springport, man, is they've had really good success in the football program, and they've done it with offense for the longest time. I know they maybe had a little bit of a lull there around the pandemic, but Matt Overway, the offensive coordinator, draws up some crazy stuff. I mean, when I was over there, when I was watching all the games when I was coaching, and like they got all kinds of formations. They throw the ball all over the place. They'll run trick plays. Like, you got to be ready for everything against them. Stockbridge, my favorite thing about the interview there with Coach Killinger is he's going on and on about the kicker. Joey Ballard, man, he's really got his onside kicks down. But they're the team that onside kicks every time. So that is a key factor. So I am going with Joey Ballard because he's got all kinds of different onside kicks, is what Coach says. So he's going to utilize all of those different onside kicks, and Stockbridge is going to win a high scoring game.
I will never pick a team that onside kicks every time. Ridiculous. Stockbridge 4-5 last year, beat St. Charles, never cream hurt of St. Charles. I don't know if that's a Michigan team, Canada, import, who knows what. And then they beat some perennial dogs like East Jackson and got their rival Dansville. So Stockbridge, not a great regular season last year, gave up a ton of points, probably because they're giving up such short fields. Springport's record was deceiving. They played tougher competition. They beat Napoleon last year, and they lost a really good Homer and really good Jonesville team. So not only do I like Springport in this game, I think Napoleon's in trouble with Homer and Jonesville joining the league in the future. I'm just going to tell you, Coach Shell and the boys better watch out because they got some new teams joining the league that are pretty good.
All right. Yeah, you know, Springport, they, you know, 8-15 the past 3 years. Stockbridge has not had a winning season since 2015. Stockbridge graduated 16 seniors. That's a lot from – it's not like they march out 70 players every Friday night either. I think they only have like three starters back on offense and two on defense. Drew Robinson is the guy if I were a fan, I'd want to watch him. He's a Stockbridge kid, really good basketball player as well. The quarterback is going to be one of the Rosinski kids, whose, you know, sister was a good, you know, good basketball player as well. And the quarterback story at Springport is great, but I think Springport is going to have too much. I don't think there's any way Stockbridge can be solid this year with as much as they lost and kind of what they have. They have a few good guys. I just don't think they're going to have the depth. I could see Springport winning this by actually maybe a couple touchdowns. All right. Our next game also on Friday, we have Pontiac Notre Dame Prep. There might even be an academy somewhere in that team name, and they travel to Clinton. And these are two pretty good football teams. Josh, what do you think about that one?
Yeah, I mean, two really good football programs. Clinton has just been outstanding the last 10 to 15 years. They were 9-3 last year. One of their losses was to state champion team Hudson, which was in their league. Another great season for them, and they're just good every year. It's just the way it is. Notre Dame Prep, 7-3. Nine times last year, Notre Dame Prep held their opponents to 14 or less points. So do the math there. Even in two losses, they held their opponents to 14 or less. I think this is going to be a defensive battle, and I'm going with the good Catholic school, Notre Dame Prep.
Clinton. So Clinton hasn't missed the playoffs since 2011 either, and they've been in the state finals three times. I mean, this is a really good program in our immediate area, and I don't even know if they get as much recognition as they deserve. That is really impressive. The one thing though, Notre Dame, again, Catholic school, of course, and maybe they got a few more resources. They're a D4 school. They've got a little bigger pool to choose from. They've got a kid that I've kind of seen on social media. I think he could be a factor in this one, a quarterback, Jacob Tuttle. I too am going to go with Notre Dame Prep in this one.
Yeah, you know, I really like, you know, Clinton. Just, I just feel like they've got a good thing going over there with the Red Wolves. Like just across the board, they got good athletes. Obviously the football program's been good for a long time. I really just think it's the size factor. I just think I'm going to give the edge to Notre Dame Prep in the fact that they're a little bit bigger school. I love that. You know, you got to love that Clinton's going and getting a game like this to start the year. It gives yourself a good test right out of the gate, and heck, in with the playoff points in football, it helps you to play a bigger school. So I'm going to go Notre Dame Prep, but I expect Clinton to have a really good year anyways.
Okay, our final Friday game, I'll lead off, is Ann Arbor Huron and Coach Antoine Mack of Will Run fame versus Lapeer. And this one's going to be at the University of Michigan, battle at the Big House. Lapeer was used to be Lapeer East and Lapeer West. Well, they consolidated in 2014, and now it's just Lapeer. Derek says he likes their nickname and their school colors, but 7-3 a year ago. Huron, though, 8-2. Tough losses, though, to Celine and Belleville. That's a really kind of and Huron, nobody just takes them seriously. And they put that kind of season together last year. Maybe they got everybody's attention. They're just 2 years removed from a 39-game losing streak. A couple guys I think are going to be factors in this game. There's a guy named Torrance Green. Look out for him. But maybe both sides of the ball. I think he's already been offered some Division II scholarships. And Zyers Ruff, another one from Huron. Again, I think he plays in the defensive backfield and has some offensive role as well. And they've got a bunch of other ones. I didn't mention, Samaha and some other guys that they got. But I'm going to pick Huron in this one. Derek?
You know, I don't want to accuse anybody of anything, but does Huron have MLive on the payroll over there? Because they got like six of the top 25 players in the Ann Arbor area are from Huron. Like maybe they're just like, based on that alone, I'm like, this team must be legit. Or that, or they, we got just, you know, Huron Love Fest going on over there. But you mentioned Torrance Green Gear and Zaire's Rough. You got on that same article, you got Laith Shama's committed to Toledo. You got a D1 player there. You got Jamari Thomas and Bruce Williams. You got all kinds of kids. And you know, they're all, and you got Samaha as well, the kicker. So you got all these high level players. You go on 247 Sports and look at Michigan, you got all these dudes listed there. So they're pumping out the talent. Now, the interesting thing about it, they're all defensive players. So this must be a stud defense. Now, I hope they got some dudes on offense as well, or else we might be in for a low scoring affair. But I tell you what, the Lapeer Lightning with their green and blue jerseys, looking very clean, by the way. They had a sophomore quarterback a year ago, Zach, all name team, Olejniak. I'm sorry, Zach, but I love the name. I have no idea how to pronounce it. But dude, as a sophomore, 16 TDs and zero interceptions. So you got him going against this good here on defense. Now that's according to MLive. But so I think we got ourselves an interesting matchup there with the experienced junior quarterback for Lapeer. I'm going to trust MLive. I'm counting on you, MLive, and you're not, you know, lying about these studs for Huron. So I'm going with Huron.
Oh, Derek, I love the Lightning reference and the all named team. Outstanding research there. Antoine Mack, I'm a huge fan. He spent a brief minute working at Beach Middle School with me and Chelsea, and just great guy, great mentor, quality human being. Not surprised at all that he's turned that program around. There was a running joke forever that the best football team in the Ann Arbor area was always walking the halls of Huron, but nobody could get him to play. And now, remember, way back in the day, they made a state championship run with the Notre Dame prep coach. So going back to my SEC comment earlier, all right, there are two teams that play football in the SEC, and that is Saline and Chelsea. State powers. As you mentioned, state champs, Chelsea last year. They've been to three of the Final Fours in a row. Saline's a machine. Huron, unbelievable job last year going 8-2, just losing to Belleville and Saline. But let's remember, that means they're beating a bunch of nobodies, which is the rest of Ann Arbor, and an overrated Dexter squad, which we'll get to in the next game, and Monroe and some different things like that. So even though the turnaround has been nice, Let's remember that they haven't beat quality opponents week in and week out. So we're going to go with the Lightning and Lapeer in this game.
Even when he's not wearing the C, still taking shots at Dexter. Man, oh, man. Well, that does lead us to our final game. It is a Saturday game, part of Zenith Prep Kickoff Classic at Wayne State. This is Dexter and Coach Phil Jacobs, who has turned that program around, against Grosse Pointe South. They also have a new coach, one that's been in the system, Chad Heppner. Derek, what do you think about your alma mater in this one?
Yeah, I mean, this is not Derek Seidel's alma mater type team, though, let me tell you, because we weren't playing in any Zenith Prep football kickoffs showcases, that's for sure. No, it's awesome. I'm super excited. I'm planning to be at this game. I haven't been to a Dexter game in a little while. I'm planning to make it out there. I want to see some of these guys. I know that, they've been exciting to watch, and I haven't been able to watch in the last few years. I mean, you got U of M commit Cole Cabana, MSU commit Brennan Parachek. Goodness gracious, you got two Big Ten players on your team on the offensive side. You better have a pretty good offense. Now, I do think they're replacing a lot. I mean, they've obviously had Colin Parachek for a while at quarterback. I think Cal Bavanaugh was just a great guy to step in after Parachek. So now we'll see how that quarterback position goes moving forward. The one thing that I think really gives me some confidence is, reading up on them a little bit, I know Micah Davis and that defense, they got a pretty experienced group on the defensive side, I think led by maybe Micah Davis, that defensive back. So I'm going to go with Dexter. Since Will Johnson's not rolling out there, he's going to be playing on Saturdays at the Big House instead of being at Grosse Pointe South. I'm going to go with Dexter.
The Parachek family, not a better family that you'll ever meet. Two of the greatest kids Dad Matt is as good of human beings you're ever going to meet. Cole Cabana, human highlight reel back there. But my sources who scrimmaged them last week tell me that they're lacking the beef up front on the O-line and the experience on the O-line. They don't love the physicality. So it's hard to get those kids the ball if you don't have time in the pocket. So we're going to see if they can do that. And over the last 5 to 7 years, the only team that plays less defense than Dexter is Tecumseh, which we talked about earlier. So you can hype up the D, but you got to show it to me first. Dexter's lost some of the most exciting games in the area in the last 3 to 5 years, and they're all 59-55 to Lincoln or in the playoffs or Battle Creek Lakeview, things like that. So I'm not buying the defense thing right now. That being said, I'm a huge Parachek fan, but Dexter is always good until they play good teams. And this is big boy football. Dexter loses.
These are both pretty good teams. They both were 500. I mean, Dexter was 5-5, Grills Point South 6-5 last year, but they played, you know, quality schedules. And you're right, Dexter, prolific offense a year ago, but a very shaky defense. Heppner, the coach at South, is kind of known as a defensive guy, but that's where South has been in the playoffs for 7 straight years. But what they are lacking this year is experience on defense. So they are, you know, them trying to, you know, expose maybe Dexter's inexperienced offensive line. Maybe they're able to do that, maybe not, but they still are going to have to defend Cabana. And if this is a shaky defense at all at South, you could see Dexter putting up big numbers. On the other side, South brings back a 3-year starter at quarterback, Anthony Bernard. They've got a kid named Sullivan, who's kind of a running back receiver, hurt most of last year, but they're kind of expecting big things from him this year. And 4 starters back on that offensive line at Grills Point. And if Dexter hasn't solved some of their defensive woes, could be a long night. I am picking the Dreadnoughts, though. There's no doubt about it. Dreadnoughts are going to get this going. They're going to play well early in the year, and they're going to have they have a tough schedule in a tough SEC conference, despite what Trope might say. So, okay, I think we've covered all 10. That was some lengthy for not having any games played last week and easy recaps to read. I think we got some information out there. Who knows how close we are? Because you never know sometimes until these teams get out there the first time. But anyway, closing thoughts, guys. Anything? You good?
I just hope everybody stays healthy, especially basketball players.
Ain't that the truth from a basketball coach's perspective? Hey, play hard. Hope you win. Stay healthy, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Not that any of these guys are going both ways or anything. But anyway, so no, great talking football. We're all, we're obviously basketball coaches, but man, we love high school sports, and especially, this week we got Thursday night lights, we got Friday night lights, and we even got some Saturday afternoon sunshine. So anyway, good talking to you. We'll see you next time.